Good morning.
Good morning, Elias.
And what have you been accomplishing?
I have a long list here again, and I've been anxious to ask you your opinions on some of these. With the past year and a half, I've accumulated information from you and other sources. First of all, you told me that I have a connection with Moses. I hear a little doggy in the background there. But Moses, I guess I'm a lifetime observing essence of that character in the Bible. Is that correct?
Yes.
And I understand that he was listening. He was very psychic and was listening to an essence that was also the same essence that spoke to Neil Donald Walsh as he brought forth the Conversations with God material, and also the same essence that was communicating through Helen Schuchman for A Course in Miracles. Now, do I have that information correct, that this is the same essence talking to all three personalities?
Yes.
And I was wondering what the name of that essence is. Okay. All right. I can kind of understand that, because Helen Schuchman thought that Jesus' essence was speaking to her, and you said that sometimes that was the case.
Correct.
All right. And that gave me a clue there. Is that similar to your group that's helping you?
No. Entirely. In some aspects, yes. But in this situation, in this phenomenon, and this interaction, there are other essences that are aiding in the facilitation of the energy exchange, but only one engages physically or with the physical manifestation of Michael, and only one engages in the delivery, so to speak, of information. Therefore, only one is actually engaging energy exchange with the individual. In these other situations, that is not necessarily the situation. So at times it may be one essence that is engaging the exchange, and therefore one essence that is offering the information, but at times more so than not, it is the collective together that creates one expression.
Okay. Quite interesting. All right. There are many ways of getting information through to us, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
Very, very, very many. I'm realizing just how innumerable the methods are. Do all three of these individuals, the Moses character, the Neil Donald Walsh personality, and the Helen Schuchman, were they the same essence, perchance?
No.
No, you say?
No.
No. All right. So they had their own essence name. Oh, okay. I have a question about what is actually happening. When a couple of times I've spoken to Mary, Mary Michael, and she has a terrible bronchitis situation sometimes where she can hardly speak. And then you come through and her voice is clear. What is the difference there? What is happening?
That may be an interesting question, for in actuality, I am not fully engaging the body consciousness. I engage certain aspects of it in the energy exchange, but I'm not engaging every aspect of the body consciousness. But in addition to that, regardless, even if I was engaging every aspect of the body consciousness, I am using certain elements of the body consciousness or certain functions of the body consciousness with my energy, not Michael's energy. Therefore, there are two factors involved. One, the body consciousness responds differently to a foreign energy, which I would be considered a foreign energy.
Mm-hmm.
The other factor is that I am projecting my energy through the body consciousness, therefore only accessing certain functions of the body consciousness to facilitate what I want to accomplish. In this, those certain functions of the body are responding differently to this energy. This body that Michael possesses is not my possession. Therefore, I can access different aspects of the body consciousness with a very different energy that will be using them in a different capacity. And there are some aspects that I do not use at all, such as I use Michael's physical vocal cords. That is a physical manifestation that I direct my energy to in order to engage the action of speech with you. But I do not actually use Michael's auditory system. Therefore, I am not actually using Michael's hearing system to hear you. I use the vocal cords to speak to you, and I use a certain aspect of the jaw in relation to the action of speaking, but I am not engaging many other functions that are occurring within the body consciousness. I am aware of them, but I am not engaging them. I am not using them. And therefore, Michael people can be creating a dysfunction with the body consciousness, or an illness in your terms, with the body consciousness. But that would not be affecting of my interaction with any of you. I am not engaging those aspects of the body consciousness. Now, what I will express is that I am aware of what is occurring within the body consciousness, and therefore, Adam, if Michael was creating some severe physical manifestation with the body consciousness that would potentially be damaging or life-threatening while I am engaging the body consciousness, I would cease.
Mm-hmm.
I would stop engaging, for I am aware that in the action of an energy exchange, it does incorporate an element of taxing the body, for the body does operate more intensely within the time framework of the actual exchange, for in addition to its usual functions or whatever it is creating and manifesting, it also is concentrating energy in translating the foreign energy and allowing that.
Okay. Yes.
But the body consciousness does not automatically allow a foreign energy to occupy that space arrangement. It automatically, in a manner of speaking, protects itself by rejecting any foreign energy.
Yes, yes. I can understand
even
that.
To this point in this present day, although Michael's body consciousness has become considerably familiar with my energy, it remains a foreign energy, and therefore, even to this point, there is some factor in which the body consciousness forces against it, and in that it taxes the body, and therefore in awareness of that, if Michael were creating a situation of severity physically, disengage the interaction with the body consciousness, such as an example. In a situation in which Michael may be creating a physical manifestation, such as a pulmonary manifestation, like bronchitis or pneumonia, in that, I'm not engaging that area of the body consciousness, and therefore I am not aggravating it any more so than it already is in whatever Michael is creating. Now, contrarily, in this present time framework, Michael is creating a physical effectiveness with an organ that does incorporate a potential to be what you would term to be life-threatening.
Mm-hmm.
The situation with lungs would not necessarily be life-threatening in a moment. With this present affectingness of a different organ, that could potentially be affected in a moment, which could create a life-threatening situation. Now, in that situation, if I, in your terms, detect that type of activity occurring within the body consciousness, I would immediately disengage the energy exchange as to not exacerbate that situation. And also to afford Michael the objective time and engagement with the body consciousness to address to the situation. Michael is not addressing to the body consciousness in the time framework in which we are engaging the energy exchange. Therefore, the body consciousness is not being instructed. Therefore, if an organ escalated in the physical manifestation to that type of point of being life-threatening, it would require Michael's attention, and it would require returning Michael's awareness to the body consciousness to address to that situation and to be instructing. I cannot instruct Michael's body consciousness. Each one of you engages your body as an extension of yourself as essence. No other essence can instruct your body consciousness. It will only respond to your instruction. Therefore, I cannot alter a manifestation within Michael's body consciousness, for I cannot offer an instruction to the body consciousness. Only Michael can do that. Only you can instruct your body consciousness.
Interesting. Oh, yeah. That explains a lot. All right. Well, yes, I hope that he will, he, she will address this issue. She's been having trouble getting a hold of her physician to help her in addressing her. I think it would be the gallbladder. Would you agree with that organ being the gallbladder?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. And I know she is suffering from that. Well, thank you for that. That explains a lot. The next item is, you had told me that I made a I actually inserted a focus into the 600 BC Elias Ethiopian focus. Do you recall that information?
Yes.
You said that I did the insertion. Do you mean that my Malia essence made the insertion, or that I personally made the insertion?
I would express that it is both. I would express that it is a cooperative expression in manner of speaking, which any focus can be involved and instrumental in, for in relation to the desire of any focus that can couple with the desire of yourself as a whole, as essence, and the influencing of the creation of more focuses or less.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I know that I've been, exhibiting that interest in expanding my focus base. Is that right? Because you keep telling me I've gone both backwards and forwards on the timeline. Okay, now, this happens with everybody. Are you saying that if I am reading a novel, for instance, or a piece of history, and I think, oh boy, I would sure like to be back there in that Grecian era, that just by my interest in that, I might be projecting a focus into that era?
It is possible, yes.
Depending on my desire?
Yes.
Okay, I can understand that. Now, what's the interesting thing is I know that you are no longer physically manifested, and therefore, if I am projecting into that focus with your Elias Ethiopian focus, am I actually exchanging energy with the real manifestation, or
yes.
is that an energy deposit yet that you have left behind?
Oh, you would be interacting with the actual focus, not an energy deposit. You are thinking in linear terms.
Yeah, I know I am.
And in that, it is not a matter of linear terms. Remember that outside of your perception, time is simultaneous. And in that, all of your focuses are occurring now. Therefore, all of my focuses are occurring now also.
All right. So even though you say you have not gathered up all of those focuses from behind, 1900, I think, when you... your final focus disengaged.
But I have.
Well, you have. I know it's very confusing to me. I cannot get my mind around. You have turned your attention to non-physical, as I understand. Is that right? And you have gathered all of your other focuses and probable selves and all of that in your going into the non-physical. So therefore, I don't understand how this person in 600 BC is still there.
I'm understanding, and there are certain aspects of reality, in a manner of speaking, that at this point continue to be difficult for you to understand or comprehend, which is very similar to what we were discussing in our previous conversation in relation to particles and planes that disappear.
Yeah.
And in that they exist, but that they disappear. And it is difficult for me to comprehend that action also. This is in relation to the design of your reality, which you perceive interprets particular order and a particular structure, which in one capacity it does. But there are other aspects of it that are in play that you merely do not interpret an objective understanding of yet. But you will.
Oh, well, thank you. I hope I will. I think I'm hopeless sometimes, but I think, why can't I get that through my head? You know, just, why can't I? Oh, well, anyway. I want to ask a question here about, I smell smoke a lot of times. Now, I could give you my impression, but I wanted to know if you can spot any reason why I can sit in any room in my house and in another house that I lived in, and I can sit in a room and get the sensation of smelling smoke. Would there be a reason that you can detect for that?
Yes, two in actuality, but I would be interested in you sharing what your impression is.
Well, I wanted you to go first. But that's all right. I'll go first if you insist. I guess I associate it with my parents because they were smokers. I loved my parents dearly, but I was so irritated with smoke in my nostrils.
That is an interesting and a considerable guess.
Okay, that was the guess for sure. But I thought, well, maybe my parents are hovering around me and just having fun with me there.
What I would express to you is that there are two reasons that this occurs. They are very different, and therefore it is dependent upon the time that it occurs.
Ooh.
At times, it is that you may be in a type of state that is open enough that you are, in a manner of speaking, surfacing a memory, not of this time framework, not necessarily in relation to your parents, but I would express that the reason that was, in your terms, a good guess is that it connects with that also to emphasize it, but more so it is that you are allowing memory to surface that is not necessarily connected with this time framework, but another focus.
Mm-hmm.
Individuals do that in different capacities. Some individuals do it with fragrances or scents. Others do it with sound. Others do it with a visual, but these are all actions of allowing a memory.
Okay.
Now,
mm-hmm.
In other time frameworks in which you are not necessarily relaxed and allowing, you may generate a very similar experience in which you are engaging your sense of smell and you smell smoke. And in that would be an indicator that you are experiencing a time framework of somewhat of a disorientation which affects your senses. At times, you can become somewhat disoriented. about consistently, but it is an ongoing issue. And in that, at times, it can disorient the body consciousness, and rather than creating a physical manifestation, what will occur is your senses will become disoriented, and you will present some familiar expression with one or more of your senses. Smoke is a familiar scent, and in that, it is not necessarily a scent that you perceive as pleasant.
Right, I don't.
It could be as easily expressed as a sound that you would not necessarily define as pleasant. That it is not entirely overwhelming to you or irritating to you, but it is present enough that it is not pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, that is dependent upon your energy at the time, dependent upon what you are doing or what your state of being, in a manner of speaking, is at the time, whether you are relaxed and open and generating, surfacing memory, or whether you are somewhat tense or agitated or feeling restless, and that sense occurs, that is the indicator that it is being expressed, motivated by a disorientation. Therefore, it can be either or.
Thank you. That's very clear. Yeah, okay, well, I'll think about it. I'll try to think of what it's indicating to me in those situations. That's very good.
Wow.
Yes, thank you. I find very often when I close my eyes and try to relax that this reddish-orange color is it's like a cloud that's underneath my eyelids, and I almost associate it with my essence color. Is that a truth, or I mean, is that my essence color, a reddish orange?
Yes.
Oh well. So I'm looking at my essence then in those moments.
Or experiencing it.
Or experiencing it. Well, that will make it more personal. Would you call it reddish orange or orange reddish? It changes color.
I would express that it is, in a manner of speaking, a fire orange.
Fire.
Or a blood orange.
Okay, I'll write that down because I couldn't quite name it myself. All right. People would talk about their tone or their musical tone. And I was wondering about middle F. I don't know why I thought of that.
Yes, you are correct.
Whoa, that hits me well. Okay, very good. Now, people were talking about their animal connections. Now, I don't understand that. I understand that our Native American Indians would talk about animal totems. So we each have a connection to an animal spirit or something?
What it is just as you interpret a color or a tone, they are vibrational translations vibrational quality. And in that, as essence and even as a focus of essence, your vibrational quality is considerably diverse, and therefore it can be translated in numerous manners in relation to expressions within your reality. Therefore, yes, you do incorporate the vibrational quality and some of the qualities of the animal itself as a reflective aspect of you.
That's interesting. Do I have an animal? I couldn't think. I mean, I love animals, so I couldn't really zero in on any particular. I even noticed that in the transcript, somebody even talked about a butterfly connection.
Yes. What I would express to you is your focus animal is a beaver.
Is that right?
Now, let me express to you some of the qualities of this animal that reflect you. I would express that the beaver is a very determined animal. It is exceptionally focused in what it does, and it is very determined to accomplish whatever it engages. I would also express that the beaver is considerably family-oriented, but not only in relation to its own offspring. Beavers express a quality in which they naturally express a nurturing energy and expression to any other of its kind.
I didn't know that.
I would express as the essence translation or vibration of quality, it would not necessarily be an animal per se, but a dragonfly. Now, the quality of the dragonfly that is the most important is that dragonflies are also very focused, but they do express the type of delicacy, for the dragonfly can only exist in a balanced environment. It cannot survive in an environment that is unbalanced.
I can empathize with that. I make my own environment and try to make it very convenient to myself and comfortable to myself.
And in that, generating neurotic dreams, but expressing that balance.
Oh. Wow, that's interesting. I thank you.
You are welcome.
Yeah, well, that's a whole new outlook on all of this stuff. I had talked to you one other time that our study group has been studying a book called E Squared by Pam Grout. And she had us make these wire hanger wands. And we've been playing with those. That caught people's attention. And Pam said that when you hold these wands in your hand, why, they're actually expressing whether your energy is contracting or expanding. Now, is her description of what's happening with these hangers, or these wands, rather, is her description an accurate description of what's actually happening when we hold these wands in our hands?
Most part, yes.
Oh, okay.
So use almost anything as a gauge or as a divining rod, in a manner of speaking, in relation to your energy field and as an indicator of expansion or contraction. But yes, they would express that your wands are an adequate manifestation to use to be divining the expansion and contraction of your energy fields, and that may be fun for you to engage, to discover how far you can project your energy with your energy field in a natural state, or how much you are contracting your energy field at any particular time framework, which does fluctuate in relation to what you are feeling.
Yeah, that's right.
Or what you are doing.
Yes.
But you can be expressing a considerable openness, or if you are engaging another energy, such as another essence, you will notice that the wand will indicate that your energy is projecting considerably wide, considerably far from your body.
So if I would ask if I'm interacting with another essence, that would be an indicator when it swings wider.
Yes. If it is moving considerably wide. Now, what does that mean? What I would express to you that, generally speaking, on average, in a manner of speaking, human individuals express their energy fields in the range of, if it is very contracted, it would appear to extend from the body consciousness approximately 1/2 to 1 inch. If it is considerably open, it can extend from the body consciousness 3 to 5 feet.
Oh my.
If it is expressing a distance of more than 5 feet, it is very likely that in that time framework, you are actually engaging another energy, or you are open to another energy and therefore allowing it to be merged with you. Therefore, in your terms, in what may be perhaps more understandable to your friend, I could express in the manner of, if at a particular moment an individual was open to and expressing that they were aware that their guide, in your terms, is present.
Again, so what would they know again?
Very well, and also what I would say to you is that some individual, rather than expressing that they are aware of the presence of their guide, they may express that they are aware of the presence of an angel. They may be aware of the presence of an individual that has died that they were considerably close to, such as a partner, or a child, or a sibling. And that you would notice that the wand would extend considerably far from the individual's body consciousness. What I would express to you as another example, if you were to engage your wand with Michael, just prior to a session in which I am present and engaging an individual, just prior to a session, my energy is very present, in your terms, around Michael. Therefore, if you were to engage your wand with Michael, just prior to a session, you would notice that the wand would measure at least 15 feet from Michael's body consciousness.
No, I'm not.
That would be a fun game for you to engage in different time frameworks with yourselves and with each other in recognition of how your energy expands in a physical manner. It can also be fun and informative to recognize time frameworks in which you contract your energy considerably and it becomes very narrow. And in that is generally an indicator that the individual is shielding or protecting themselves, for there may be a situation in which they are uncomfortable, or they are fearful, or they are apprehensive.
Well, right now, I'm holding these wands. I'm holding them, and they're pointing right at my neck. What does that mean?
I would express that is quite an accurate indicator that you are generating for the concentration of your energy is being focused in communication with myself.
Oh, boy, I had these wands laying here on the table, so I picked them up, and they swung immediately to my throat. And they've been hanging here, And now they're starting to swing out a little bit. Ah, now they're swinging a little away. So that is an expression of my energy. Now I'm evidently projecting out because they're starting to straighten out a little more. Pointing to the phone here. Are they pointing to you, maybe?
Yes, quite fun.
Yes, it is. Fun. Okay. Well, thank you for verifying that that is a valid thing that we can do and play with. Some of them are debunking it, you know, saying, oh, that can't be, and it's all our imagination. But we'll continue to play with those, I think. Well, maybe you could help me. I'm trying to accumulate a lot of these angel stories, you know, and telling me who is interacting in these miraculous stories from Joan Wester Anderson's book. So here's another story. It was supposed to be a real-life story from 1977. Lucille Johnson from New Salisbury, Indiana, was a polio victim with weak legs. She went to church on a very windy day. The car was trembling from the wind, and she had trouble keeping balance when she walked, and so she was very worried about going to the church in this harsh wind. But she said that when she got out of her car, it was like there was a bubble around her of calm air. The trees were whipping and blowing, and in fact, she had trouble opening the church door. The wind was so hard, but there was this bubble of calm around her. Now, what protected her? How did that happen?
And she attributes this to an angel.
Yes, she does.
What I would express is that that is not unusual. The attributing to another energy source. But what I would express is that it is a situation in which he was engaging with another essence that she defines as an angel.
Mm-hmm.
In that, the combination of her energy and the other essence's energy creates a rift in the environment in which what is occurring around her is not necessarily affecting of her.
Okay. And creates her own little bubble of calmness then.
Yes. But that is a combination of her own energy with the other energy. At times, the attributing to an angel is, in actuality, the individual's energy itself without any additional expression. But at times there is an additional expression.
Okay. That was interesting. Well, now there's another one that's a little more dramatic here. This was a 12-year-old back in 1989 in Florida. Mark Durance was his name, and he almost died after he was bitten by a rattlesnake. He was able to get into the house, and they rushed him to a hospital, but it took many, many days for him to recover from life support methods. And finally, he could describe to them this man in white who actually picked him up, he said, and carried him up the steps of the front porch to place him in the front room. And, of course, all of the family never saw this man in white. Who would this have been who actually picked him up?
Imagery that the individual generated an explanation for their experience. What I would express to you is that this is very similar to what many individuals describe in relation to what they identify as near-death experiences. Now, in that, the individuals are creating very real experiences, but they are objective experiences. And that means that the individual themselves is creating the action and the situation. They are merely translating it and attributing it to another outside source, such as an angel, or God, or a guide, or another essence that they view as another person that has already died. There are many, many, many manifestations or images that individuals will present to themselves to offer themselves an explanation of their own experience that they can accept.
Okay. So you're saying that maybe this boy was able to walk into the house by himself, but in his mind he was helped by this imagery that he formed in his mind.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
The action of transporting himself when he believed that he was incapable of doing so would not be an acceptable explanation of the action that was occurring. And therefore, in that, he creates an image which is very real. Expressing that he imagined this, there is a difference. These experiences that individuals have are their real, and the images that they create are very real and solid. Regardless of whether other individuals can perceive them or not, they are very real in that individual's reality. They are not imagined images, but they are imagery that the individual creates to offer themselves an explanation of the action that they are involved in and engaging that is acceptable to themselves.
So that person that he created for himself, could that person have picked him up and carried him?
Yes.
That could actually have happened then.
Yes. Which is precisely what I am expressing. It is not imagined.
Okay.
It is very real.
And it's a person that he created himself.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that gets right down to the nitty-gritty. Oh, I hear the beeper going off, and we don't want to exhaust Mary. I want to thank you, Elias. You've answered a lot of questions. It's very, very good session I've had with you. Thank you.
You are very welcome, my friend. And I express tremendous encouragement to you. Offer my acknowledgement and my greetings to your group.
I will do so.
And I express tremendous affection and lovingness to you. And great encouragement of your furthering of your adventure.
Yeah. I'll be reporting later on what we do, so thank you again.
You are very welcome, and I encourage you to incorporate fun with your wand. Until our next meeting, my dear friend, in tremendous lovingness, as always, au revoir.
Goodbye.